You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, after show with Jim Nairn from Trillium Business Brokerage. Jim, how was the main show? How was part one on your end?
Part one went by way too quickly, but it was good. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Hopefully everybody was able to take at least something from it that will help them with their journey, be it getting ready to sell or wanting to consider coming into my world with being a broker. Either way, yeah, hopefully you picked out something.
Yeah, it's fun too, because we stopped, took a break, and then, you know, getting ready for this next one. And as it happens with me, sometimes I get curious, I'm asking questions, you know, it was like, all right, we got to stop talking so we can record, so we can actually, you know, give some for them. because there's, you know, a lot of different things to talk about. So in this after show, it's fun because it's different questions, kind of separate. For anyone tuning in, make sure to check part one, listen to that, watch it. It'll make more sense. It always does. Also, we'll have Jim's background in there in the show notes. We'll have his links in the show notes for this episode as well, if you find this by yourself. But let's start with the first question, Jim, because you've been at this for, you know, a while as far as learning about it and then, you know, getting the license and then moving forward with all that. But if you think about it now and you think of over the next 5 years or in 5 years from now, so 2031, what do you think business broker, M&A, intermediary advisors will have to do to be successful in 2031?
As long as World War III hasn't happened by then, you know, it's, I think we'll have definitely a lot more technology. Things are going to be more of a, in the early stages, what we call onboarding clients and everything like that, there's probably going to be a lot more of that work being done automatically. Like, we won't have to go in and specifically ask for this or that. The systems will be in place that it's like, okay, you still need to provide us this document, and then the reminders will go out and all on their own, all that kind of stuff. So keeping up with the technology is going to be big, and I'm working on that now with our systems. We have a good intake process set up for when buyers are inquiring on our engagements that, you know, traditionally we used to have just a single funnel where all the different buyers came through, and now I've separated it into three different types, because private equity groups don't fill out the same paperwork as, you know, Tom Jones coming in off the street, right, wanting to buy a business, and neither does another broker. They don't want to fill out the same paperwork as either of those two. So it's one of those things where I've now separated, okay, if you're this kind of a buyer, you go through this funnel. If you're that kind, you go through that one, and so on, just to help streamline any of those issues of I'm not filling that out, or this doesn't relate to me, all that kind of stuff that we used to get before. And that was part of the thing as well of being under our own office. We have that control, right, for that particular level of detail and the systems that we put in place. So we're instead of having everything segregated and or not being provided, now we have the control to say, this is what I want to do, and this is what's going to happen when X, Y, and Z happens. So I like that aspect a lot more.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think that's a good way to like stratify and kind of set up that process, because it is a unique process. It's not unified. It's funny because when you first were talking, thinking about like in 5 years, there will be like automation or there'll be tools and technology to do this. I'm also thinking of when in time did they think we would have flying cars by now? And then I think of like, but we don't. And so I hope for your sake and for everyone involved in these transactions that there is that level of like technology and being able to match up, but there's also no consistency in what's being done, like you said, at the business level, like this revenue level for this plumber is different than this level revenue for this manufacturer. And so it's not a required standard, which then leaves the messy bits for people like you to put together.
Yeah. So there are many ways to categorize things, industries, revenues, profits, all that kind of stuff when you're dealing with sellers and or buyers and the like. So it's a matter of, again, understanding what those nuances are, if there are any, in your process that you're managing, because not everybody, some people treat one business the same all the way up from 500,000 up to, 50 million. Everybody goes through the same process, and that's fine if that works for you and your clients, right? So some people prefer to deal with different kinds of businesses with different touch points and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. So it's going to be unique to each particular kind of brokerage and how they're going to deal with that. The technology is out there now that we can do a lot of that stuff, a lot of our work, like the back end work to get businesses onboarded and get the marketing collaterals together, this, that, whatever else can fairly well be automated pretty much right now. It's a bit of an investment required, but the systems are there. They're available. So you just have to determine what it is you want to do. Yeah. And if it makes sense for you and your market and your clients. But I'm working on figuring that out right now ourselves. Like I say, we have our buyer process underway. It's the other side of the coin or the valuation side that I just need to formalize a little more.
That's great. Next question. So we think about it again. We're in the first quarter of 2026. What was biggest lesson you learned last year, 2025?
So again, that was when life was taken over for me a little bit. So it definitely just helped clarify that, you know what, you got to look after what's important. So it's one of those things where I was away from the office more than I was in the office in the last year and a half, just because that's where I was needed the most. So the good thing is with my job is that I was still able to work 95% remotely, which is awesome. And I was able to help a few entrepreneurs transition their business out. Even while I was doing that, it left a lot of holes still, as I've alluded to when we were doing the transition and coming on board with our new office and branding and so on. But we were still able to get things done and get the main processes through. So, the biggest thing for me was just learning that, hit your priorities first. If there's stuff that really requires your attention, do that. Take an extra couple hours here or there as needed to work on the other stuff, because you can't let everything just if you have the time, and the means. Get the other stuff done as you can, the lesser priority stuff. That's not really lesser, but you know what I mean.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts, and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
Get the other stuff done as you can, the lesser priority stuff. That's not really lesser, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, down the priority list, right? So there's the critical things, and there's the urgent, and there's the important, and then there's not important or not urgent. Right. And you kind of have to triage it and go from there. And I know for myself, I've been in those modes many times the last several years where it's like, luckily with a remote world that we're in now versus what was, acceptable, let's say pre-COVID. And obviously in your side, you still have some meetings you have to do. There's still some face-to-face aspects that are very important in your industry. And I know that some brokers try to do everything virtual and remote, which may or may not work. I mean, obviously you can make anything work, but it is a good thing when you've got to prioritize, let's say, personal stuff, family stuff over it. And so that's good. And then, being able to move some things forward, keeping it going, still getting some transactions done, you know, getting something done in that mode. I know when I've been in that, it's like, it feels like a win. Anything I can still get done feels like a bonus. Because in that mode, you're not thinking about anything.
My book was it was basically 2 years in the making. It should have only took, you know, about maybe 4 to 6 months. But it's finally here, and we're all but ready to go. So it's like I said, just again, like, you know, the priority levels, right? Like, it was up there. I was doing some work on it, just nowhere near as much or whatever as was needed to get it done. So
then my next question, which should be interesting, because now I feel like there's a lot of stuff, but what are you excited about this year? Obviously, you have the book, you're putting in the systems and process, you're finally getting to all the things that you wanted to do with Trillium, you know, when you guys started it. Is there anything else, or that's basically it?
Yeah, so I'm just excited to see when things are finally going to get to the completion stage or near completion stage. There's always going to be an evolution of things, but with our systems and how I'm looking to envisioning to get things set up. And bringing a few people on board. I've got some talks with a couple existing brokers that may want to go for a slightly different change of scenery, different change of base, and just come in and help out with some smaller a smaller boutique office as opposed to where they are now. And then once if I can get a little bit of that working, then I'll have, you know, I think a better opportunity to help out some new brokers that haven't been in the industry before, to say, hey, you know what, we've got enough people on here now. It wouldn't just be me that you'd have to piggyback off of. You could pick the brains of a few other people on board and kind of go from there. So I am looking forward to doing that in the coming years, not necessarily this year, but in the coming years. I'd like to get, about 2 to 3 new brokers coming on. But also, I have in the back of my brain to put a couple more books out, one for buyers, just for the things that they need to know when coming in and looking at taking on a business, because there's a lot of stuff that most of them just have no idea that they should know about either. So education is huge in my industry. A lot of people just, that old idiom, you don't know what you don't know. And so it's one of those where, again, similar to the sellers, if I could enlighten them on just some of the 30,000 foot view of things they need to know about when they're going through the process, then hopefully that can help save some headaches and some money for them along the way. And then another one, potentially another book for valuations. So just give people an idea on how to actually establish a value for your average kind of Main Street business, so 3 to 5 million and under. And then possibly after that, definitely none of this is happening, or not all of this is happening, but potentially another book on, for business owners, if you have a business, what are some things you can do to help look at scaling it a little bit, to getting it more ready for a sale. So there's some different goals in there as well, but in my spare time, I'll look at.
Well, that's a great list for this year and beyond. I think that's good, and I'm excited to see what you do when you can, you know, really focus and spend all that time in the business, on the business, and you know, growing it and making it happen. Final question for this after show that I ask everybody: if you could wave a magic wand and have one marketing activity, strategy, tactic completed for you automatically, one marketing thing you wouldn't have to do ever again, what would that be?
There's so many. My LinkedIn posts, my SEO work, some of the different stuff like that I wouldn't have to. And that's actually part of the service that I'm working with right now with my website guy. His team is in theory going to be helping out with some writing some stuff up. And so it'll take a bit of a load off of me having to come up with that content on a regular basis. But I think just a lot of it is, Maybe even ad work as well, not having to, to write up and create ads to for promotions. that would be a good one. I think that I like that more than the content. I'm okay with content writing sometimes. It's the ad stuff, the ad ad promotions and whatnot that I'm like, you know what? That's just a lot of extra work.
That's totally fair. I could see that. I think that would be helpful, especially as you're doing the other parts. And I think I you know, the content creation and the posts and all of those things is effort and time. But for you, what I get the sense is the educator, you know, if you're the kind of person who's writing books, you want to teach people, then, you know, the creating that content is easier for you than maybe writing ad copy and doing other stuff. Now it's just the bandwidth thing, right? Then it just comes down to, do you have the time?
Yeah, I actually enjoy writing the posts a little bit more than the ad work and the research of what words are the best and what color is the best for this image and all that kind of stuff. That's not the part that I excel at the most. I have my opinions, but it's not the part I excel at the most. But yeah.
That makes sense. Well, Jim, I appreciate you being here for the after show. For people who want to connect with you again, it'll be in the show notes. We talked about it in the main episode. They can find you, Jim Nairn, on LinkedIn, also TrilliumBusinessBrokerage.com. I can find it there. And I'm going to guess you're probably one of the top ranking Jim Nairns on Google, at least in Canada. So it's a good chance that people can find you that way. Jim, thank you again for being here, sharing all of this, spending extra time, bonus time with myself and the audience. So I appreciate that and you being here.
My pleasure there, Jason. I enjoyed it. And again, the time just kind of whizzed right on by there for us. So I much appreciate that. And again, hopefully somebody was able to pick up a little nugget or two that would help. That's my ultimate goal. If I did that, mission accomplished. And thank you very much.
Well, I know from my side, you did. I took a bunch of notes. I already knew some of this stuff because we had talked about it in advance, but I still got a lot from it. So I'm sure the audience is as well. And for everyone tuning in, appreciate you being here. Thank you for following this, watching this, checking this out, sharing it, everything that you're doing. Make sure to connect with Jim and, you know, even let him know that you heard the episode, you watched it, and that you got some value. That's always fun when you're on a podcast. And as always, until next time, stop hoping for deals, stop growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.